From St. Joseph, Missouri, here is Travis Lee Hartman.
First one's always the best. With that, welcome to another episode of Weighing In with Travis Hartman, where we give your eardrums the 1-2 combo, talking about boxing, sports, life, whatever comes to mind. That over there is Travis Hartman. I'm Brandon Waters. Thanks for joining us. If you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe to us, whether it's on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Pocket Casts, wherever you're getting your podcast from. If you don't see us there, tell us, because we want to know, because we want to be there. We want to be in your eardrums more than you know.
We want to know you like a mosquito.
We want to know you. Wow, we're going off rails. We're going off rails. Oh, it's already bad. So, Travis, there's a lot going on in the boxing world. I think we have a good amount to talk about today. And if you have already been subscribing to us, thank you so much. We do appreciate that. And we appreciate all the feedback we've gotten so far as well. Please feel free to forward our stuff on and just to make fun of us if you want. I'm okay with that.
I mean, we already appreciate the tens of views that we have. So we do appreciate it.
That's right. That's right. We're very humble here at Weighing In with Travis Hartman.
The tens of views.
So with that, we will talk about this as well, because I know we talk about bourbon. Clink. We talk about bourbon as well while we're talking boxing and life and whatnot. Buffalo Trace, very good. This is a shout out to the LP bourbon community here in Florida. And you know what, Travis? I'm just going to throw it to you because I'm going to ramble on and on and on.
I like to hear you talk about bourbon.
Thank you. I have an angelic voice. Hopefully this week you can hear me. It looks like my audio is going, my video is going, yours is going. Are we through the technical problems?
You have a voice of an angel, Brandon.
Well, whatever. I'm just trying to keep up with you, my friend.
They told me one time that you were the songbird of your generation.
I can't. That's a great movie, by the way. Shout out, Step Brothers.
So wait, before we even jump into more, I have to give a big shout out to my man over there, Brandon, who just celebrated a birthday last weekend, and this is why we have Buffalo Trace. It's one of Brandon's favorite drinks. So
thank you.
I thought I would give it to him for his birthday, and we would.
Well, appreciate it. There's not a person on the planet that I'd rather drink that with than Travis Hartman. And with that, Travis, what is going on in the boxing community? What are we weighing in on today?
Super fun news. Maybe fun. I don't know. But, as everybody knows, big bombshell got released. Oscar De La Hoya. If you don't know that name, then you can't even be listening to us. Because even if you're not a boxing fan, you've heard the name Oscar De La Hoya. He's one of the first guys that kind of crossed over, had that crossover appeal with everybody. So Oscar De La Hoya announced that he's coming out of retirement after being retired for almost 12 years. If anybody remembers, his last fight was a loss versus Manny Pacquiao. Mm. That was Oscar De La Hoya's last fight. I think he was 36 or 37 years old, and he announced his retirement. We thought it was a good retirement. I mean, he was like, you know, I've done a lot of stuff in the sport, which he has. I'll tell you right now that Oscar De La Hoya was someone that I actually looked up to when I was fighting the amateurs. I tried to mimic my style after him. I tried to do it. I mean, like, I looked up to the guy and what he accomplished already in his career. Like, he was a gold medalist. They called him the Golden Boy for a reason, because he was one of the only Americans to win a gold medal in the Olympics that year. I think it was, what, 94? That's not 94, 96? I forget.
Probably 90. Well, where was it at? What Olympics? Do you remember?
I forget where it was at. I think it was 96. It might have been.
That was Atlanta.
Right? I think it was 96. So somebody can fact check me on that, but I think it was 96.
Awesome. We'll have our in-studio producers fact-check that at the end of this broadcast. How's that sound?
That sounds good. I think we need that.
Which, by the way, we are filming, as we have for the last several weeks, here at the TH Boxing Facility. You can see it in the background. Awesome place.
I couldn't think of a better place to do Weighing In with Travis Hartman podcast than a boxing gym.
Absolutely. And if you have not yet, you need to reach out and schedule some time with the trainer of the Lifetime
Lifetime Achievement Award.
We'll get into some of that a little bit later, because I have some stories from this weekend as well. So not to bounce out of Oscar De La Hoya, but let's get back in, man. So he's fighting again. Have they scheduled a date, opponent? What are the details, if any?
Not yet. Oscar just officially announced that, like, I'm coming back. I'm training. He's like, I want to fight anybody from 154 to 160. All the top guys out there. Which is kind of funny. 2020's been a different year. Anybody has not realized that yet. 2020's been kind of crazy, because Mike Tyson also announced that he's coming back in an exhibition fight versus Roy Jones Jr. However, Oscar De La Hoya's fight, it's not an exhibition fight. It's a real fight. He wants to fight all the champions out there, all the young guys. He already said, anybody out there can get it. He's like, I'm coming for everybody. He's like, I think I can genuinely beat the top guys out there.
So
he's 47 years old. He has not fought in almost 12, this December will be 12 years. So I don't know what to think.
So, okay, so let's think about it from a few different angles. If he's putting that out there, almost a challenge, I mean, you can call it a challenge, right, to fight the top guys. If you're one of the top guys now, is that a fight you're willing to accept or think about? Outside of the notoriety and the publicity of it, think of your legacy, your record, that sort of thing. Are you willing to put that up and risk it?
Everybody would want to fight him.
Great, okay.
Because multiple reasons. Oscar De La Hoya is, like I said, he's a crossover appeal. The guy's a cash cow.
Yeah.
The guy fights, everybody tunes in. Whether you like him, hate him, love him, whatever. But he pulls in the average fan or the person that normally wouldn't watch boxing, but they hear about Oscar De La Hoya, they're like, oh my gosh, I'll watch. So if you're out there and you're a top guy, you 100% want to fight him for multiple reasons. One, he's 47, he hasn't fought in 12 years. Mm-hmm. You think you can beat him.
Mm-hmm.
So you play on his ego, call him out, whatever you got to do. And two, you're going to make more money than you've ever made. Only guy out there that wouldn't make more money than they ever made is Canelo Alvarez. However, then I guess Canelo probably would make even more money because they're pulling in the Oscar fans and the Canelo fans, and Canelo's the biggest name out there. However, Canelo's promoted by Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
So that one's a little touchy. I don't think that one will happen, but I do have a prediction.
Let's hear it.
I think that Oscar De La Hoya, and it's actually a good matchup, I think his comeback fight could possibly be Amir Khan.
Wow, okay.
I think it would sell because Amir Khan's he's still a big figure in the UK. He's still, people know who he is. He hasn't fought for about a year, I believe it has been, a little over. And I think that's a fight that right now, given both their times in their career, and Amir Khan's more towards the end of his career than he was in the beginning, for sure. And obviously, Oscar hasn't fought for 12 years. But Oscar can still fight. I don't care what anybody says. Oscar can still fight. I mean, he's 47. I think what you're seeing nowadays, that sports medicine and health and exercise science is just through the roof now.
Sure.
Guys are
sure.
Fighting along in their career. So I'm not necessarily discrediting Oscar at 47, like his body's not there. I think that with modern technology and his high level of income, which is a funny quote as well, but his high level of income, like the guy can get back in shape. He really could. But
yeah.
His reflux is going to be there because Oscar has had a history of drug abuse, substance abuse. He's checked in and out of rehab over these past like 10 to 12 years. He's not been boxing. So I think the question would be, you know, can Oscar focus? Can Oscar dedicate? And I mean, training camps are grueling. Can a 47-year-old go through a full-on, full-fledged, grueling training camp to beat one of these younger top guys?
So that's why I think your prediction is pretty interesting. So Khan, I mean, he's not one of the... what was his last fight or what was his last details?
He fought a very unknown guy. So ago in like the Middle East.
I think it was about a year ago, yeah.
I think it was a year or more, probably, but it was like, yeah, it wasn't really heavily publicized. Like, I genuinely, and I'm a boxing guy, I always pay attention to stuff. It actually slipped through my radar. I
right.
Didn't even know he fought until I seen some results, and I was like, Amir Khan fought. Like, that guy was a pay per view guy. I mean, that guy fought the top guys. That guy fought Canelo Alvarez. That guy fought everybody, too. So the fact that I didn't know he even fought in his last fight, that's kind of telling as well. But if he fights Oscar De La Hoya, I think people would tune in because
sure.
It's not a relevant fight, but what it would be like I wouldn't say a 50-50 fight, but it would be a fight that the possibilities are there for Amir Khan for sure to win, but it's like Oscar could win. That's what makes it kind of intriguing, and they're both very popular, so
yeah.
Honestly, regardless of who wins, with those two matched up against each other, I just think it would be a competitive fight. I genuinely believe it would be fight at this point, even in Oscar stage and even Amir Khan, because Amir Khan's a super, super talent, but the guy has chin problem because all of his losses are genuinely knockout losses. But the guy is so talented.
So that's the thing. So a few factors that we're talking about here. Competitive, number one. Number two, great for boxing. Number three, great for the fans. You're looking at names that people know. I think that's a great prediction. Hopefully, unless there's another name that filters up through that, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, that's going to be a great matchup with Oscar. I tell you what, that's nice. That would be nice if that actually occurred. What do you think, though, on the calendar-wise, how could that fit in, or how long would they need to put that on the calendar somewhere? It would obviously push to 2021, I would think.
I don't know. I think Oscar, because of his age, Oscar's not going to have – he's not going to be able to do like a four-month training camp.
Yeah.
That and 4 or 5 month training camp is what you have to do if they push it to next year. I think they'll probably end it this year. I think Oscar will have a date by the end this year.
Okay.
I'm going on a limb for sure, but I'm telling you, because of his age and all of that, I think they're not trying to push this back, because I think that Oscar needs about a couple of months probably. I would say, I mean, prime time fights usually happen in December, the beginning of December, so I wouldn't be shocked if this fight happens in December.
We haven't seen anything for December. I know we talked, every week we talk about the calendar, how it's beefing up, there's other things coming about, and I don't think there's really something that's major towards the tail end of December that I'm aware of, or
not
you aware
yet.
Of?
They've been talking about possibly Tyson Fury, yep. Deontay Wilder, but Deontay Wilder kind of balking on that whole negotiation, so Tyson Fury's like about to just go fight somebody else, so there's been nothing set for December.
Well, when you can't beat a guy, you can't beat a guy, so why?
I mean, you know, you're not wrong. that's another tension, but you know what? That's cool, because that takes us right into the heavyweight division, which is a massive division right now.
Let's talk.
There was a time where it was very, very dull. Nobody talked about it. But now, it's an exciting division again. Yep. And I think that there's a lot of the experts always said that the boxing's popularity kind of goes and comes
with the heavyweights. Yeah, you're right.
And I would say they're kind of right for sure, because boxing got by without the heavyweights for a while because guys like Floyd Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, and now Canelo Alvarez, who are not heavyweights, obviously. But now that the heavyweights are back, I mean, dude, it's exploding.
Yeah.
And right now it's exploding a ton. You know, you got Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury. And then you got guys who just fought last night. It's Dillian White, who his only loss was to Anthony Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
He fought Alexander Povetkin last night. Who Alexander Povetkin's only losses are to Klitschko and Anthony Joshua. So those two guys are legit. They were fighting for, the interim WBC title last night.
Okay.
So
let's walk us through.
That fight was the coolest thing too right now. Because of 2020, obviously, there's no fans. So DAZN... Matchroom Boxing's Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn has something that he's put up in England. He's putting these fights on in his backyard. Of course, he's got a massive $1 million mansion, you know, but these fights are happening in his backyard.
So Travis, when are we going to put fights on in your backyard?
I mean, we should have him right here with Jim.
Yeah.
So, I'm not Eddie Hearn level yet. Yeah. Yet, Brandon. But so it was good because the zone's been putting on fights, so it's giving fighters still a chance to progress their career. Still fighting for under the big lights. I mean, this is DAZN. There's no fans, but DAZN is getting streamed worldwide. If you have a phone, you download the app, you can watch it. You can watch it on your smart TVs everywhere. So, of course, I love the app. It's like 10 or 15 bucks a month. You never ever pay pay per view. Anthony Joshua fights on there. Canelo signed a 5-year, $365 million contract. So, you know that DAZN is legit.
So, this was last night. Yep. Biggest takeaways from that? I know there was the heavyweight bout. We will talk about that very, very shortly. Any other takeaways from that before we get to it?
It seems like I'm advocating heavily for women's boxing. I hate the term women's boxing because I'm advocating for boxing.
Right.
But we've been seeing a lot of women's boxing, so I have to kind of point that out because some of our viewers don't know these names. I have to point out that they're
great.
Women's boxing.
Let's do it.
For sure. But Katie Taylor fought last night in a rematch against a New Zealand girl. And the first fight, I've never watched Katie Taylor. She's 15-0. I've never watched her fight. I watched highlights of her, and then this was the first time I got to watch her live. Oh my gosh. You know, I'm not kidding when I tell you this. She has a sort of a style that was a little bit similar to a Canelo in the basis of she's jabbing, her movement, her side-to-side ducking and getting out of there. Oh, my God. I watched the fight with an English guy, actually, a guy from England.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it with him last night. And I was telling him, I was just like, I'm so impressed by Katie Taylor. Like, it's ridiculous. I couldn't believe. I was just like, this girl can fight. However, so, backstory, though. This was a rematch, right? This made me watch Katie Taylor. It was because of this very reason. She was rematching this girl, Persoon, with this girl's last name. I forget her first name, but her last name was Persoon. Spelled just like person, except two O's on the end. So she fought to rematch this girl. The first fight, I didn't get to watch it. However, I watched the highlights, and I spoke to a lot of experts that did watch the fight, and they gave the fight to Katie Taylor, but clearly everybody was like, she didn't win that fight.
Hmm.
Okay. But the massive and the coolest thing about Katie Taylor was I'm not fighting anybody else until I fight her again. She goes, I am giving, there was no rematch clause. She's like, I'm giving this woman a rematch. We're going to fight again. And I was like, massive respect, Katie Taylor. Massive respect for that. And she came out and she rematched this girl. And she looked phenomenal last night.
Yeah.
And she looked from this girl. Now I see why it was a tough fight to begin with. Because Katie Taylor is a very technical fighter. She's very textbook. She's very clean. All her punches are nice and straight. Everything looks really good. Like, she fights really well. This other girl, Pursuit, is just she mauled her. She got until she wrestled for a round. I mean, there were some elbows in there. There was a couple of headbutts even. So I can see how Katie Taylor struggled for the first time. For the second time, without a doubt in my mind, Katie Taylor won last night. She won a unanimous decision. And it was good because women's boxing needs that. And the coolest thing about that fight was, I believe it's 135-pound division, which is lightweight. There's a girl from America named Michaela Mayer.
Sure. We talked about Michaela. Yep.
With her. And she has been tweeting out and talking about a massive fight. How much more massive can you get when it's a USA versus UK? Like, that's massive. That's a big fight. And this is a big fight for the women's division. So, and I think the zone and Top Rank is who promotes Michaela Mayer. Yeah. I think that could be a great fight. I think that could be a main event fight. That could headline a fight, which you're not seeing very many, if any, headlining women's fights. But this one could.
But see, so here's the thing. If you're listening to us, you're hearing our voice. We talk about women's boxing. So I'll say boxing, the women's fights. I don't know how to say it right because you're right. We promote this not because we're trying to push a certain agenda or anything like that, but because it's fun to watch. And it's just like, it doesn't matter if it's guys fight, girls fight, whatever, women's fight, it doesn't matter. It's so athletic. It's such, I don't know, Travis. Why this doesn't get the same kind of publicity anywhere else, I have no idea. So
I think it is, though. I think the last couple of years,
It's been building. So, ladies, if you see this, if your name's attached to this, we're ready for you to come on. We're ready.
Come on over to weigh in with Travis Arnold. We welcome you.
We give you guys the props because, you know what? It's a fantastic fight, and you guys are busting your butts. Same with the dudes. You know what? We just appreciate a solid fight. Two just incredible athletes in the ring that have done their thing. So I'm happy to hear that, and I'm happy to talk about it every week. I think we have probably since
and not even playing, like it comes up.
It just happens.
It happens, so we have to talk about it. Like,
which then it's a testament to the promoting, because if we're talking about it, then it's going off on DAZN, ESPN, wherever it is. Awesome.
That's what I'm trying to say. I actually do think that the promoters and TV are actually doing their part, and for good reason. But they're putting, I mean, Katie Taylor was the co-main event to a heavyweight title. Like, that, when does that ever happen?
Yeah.
She was a co-feature to a main event heavyweight championship of the world. So that's just a testament to DAZN, Matchroom Boxing, even Top Rank. All those guys, Golden Boy even has some female fighters they signed. So that's a testament to, yes, they're trying.
Hopefully we'll see Taylor and Persoon do a little run it back. We'll see if they have another one coming up down the road or shortly. Depends.
I mean, I don't think it needs a third one. I think that everybody's pretty satisfied. I don't see Katie Taylor going backwards and fighting this girl a third time, because they fought twice. The first fight, you could have said Persoon won, but Taylor did win, but Taylor left nothing to question, because even the girl Persoon, when the announcement was made, she was like, you won. She goes, I thought I won the first fight. She goes, I knew. She goes, but I absolutely lost this fight. Which I was like,
really? Okay.
Like, that's class. Like,
okay.
Remember last week, we were just talking about the classy loss of Cecilia Brekus?
Yeah.
You know, she lost, and she was like, she didn't blame anybody. Literally, she was like, this girl deserves props. She's like, there's no excuse. She beat me. She deserves the stuff. So the women kind of are setting a good example for how to win and how to lose.
These are just, it's just athletics. That's what we want to see. Because what else do we see right now? I mean, we see prima donnas in some of the big sports leagues. We see the political stuff, which we talk about off and on here. I get it. But this is what we want to see. We want to see pure sport.
Yeah, and as you know, I've been a professional boxer, amateur boxer my whole life. Literally been in boxing 31 years. Literally 31 years. I'm a huge fan, though. I watch this stuff for the sport.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that play their sport, and they're not a really big fan of it. I'm a huge boxing fan. That's why I follow this stuff, because if I talk about this stuff, it's because I'm a big fan. Like, if I'm talking about you on our podcast, it's because you're doing something in the sport that I appreciate and that I enjoy, and I think that others enjoy it. So that's why we talk about it, and I'm glad they're finally putting all of this in front of us to give us a choice. You know, at the end of the day, it's about ratings, and I get that. So if there's no ratings, eventually they are going to stop putting them on there. So I think that they're trying, and I'm buying it because it was an exciting fight.
Yeah.
Although Persoon has a very, very ugly style, and it was very annoying to watch, but I was also very happy with how Katie Taylor was just, she was slick. Like, she was a slick fighter. Like, it was enjoyable. Like, I'm not kidding, there was a couple times she was on the ropes. She slipped left, or she slipped right, she slipped left, she rolled out and pieced out and kind of pushed the girl over. And
yeah.
I was just like, That's a legit, that's a boxing move. That's not a women's or a men's move. I was like, that was a boxing move, and I appreciated that.
Yeah.
But again, like they were the co-main event of the heavyweight championship of the world last night.
Awesome. Well, so then changing gears, let's go to that fight. We had that title fight. I want to talk about the heavyweights, because as you said, and that's been the old adage for many, many years, it's the boxing world goes as the heavyweights go, and right now that division is really, to take your words, heating up. So talk to me, tell the viewers and whoever's watching at home, tell us about that fight.
Oh my gosh, guys, so Dillian White, who's only lost, I already said, was Anthony Joshua, which is heavyweight champion of the world now, and Alexander Povetkin, he's over 40 years old, and that's why I think people, to go back just briefly for a second, should not completely dismiss Oscar De La Hoya being 47 years old. Because Alexander Povetkin, he's 41 or 42, I forget the exact age, he's 41 or 42 for sure, I know that. So he's in his 40s, and like most people were dismissing him. This guy won a medal in the Olympics.
Well, I think you alluded to it earlier, it's sports medicine right now is different across all sports, right? So I think if you go back several years ago, and you know me, a lot of my knowledge comes more from the mixed martial arts world. Thank you, Buffalo Trace. It comes from that world. So I think back to, at this point, it's probably been about a decade. Randy Couture, who was in his 40s, he won the heavyweight title in the UFC when it was really starting to, you know, come up. He won the heavyweight title in his 40s, and everyone was their minds were blown. But I'm looking at it like, well, wait, no. They're doing the right stuff with their bodies. The training's different. Sports medicine's different. Hell, you go to the NFL, Tom Brady's still doing his thing now here in Tampa Bay. Not here in Tampa Bay, but across the, you know, I-4. About an hour and a half away, you know, Tampa Tom. He's doing his thing. Not that I'm a Tom Brady fan, but guys are doing it. Gals are doing it. It's awesome. So let's go back to this. Let's go back to this fight.
And so Alexander Povetkin and Dillian White are fighting for the interim WBC heavyweight championship of the world, which is makes them a player in the division.
They're, yeah,
shares a part of the title. So they're going to fight either Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, or even Tyson Fury. So they're aligning themselves for that type of fight. So Dillian White's a 4-1 favorite. 4-1 favorite over a guy that, I know Povetkin is a little bit older, but Povetkin fought Joshua and actually hurt Joshua when they fought, like in the first or second round. So I was like, this is what I told everybody. I've seen Dillian White fight, I've seen him fight Anthony Joshua, but I wasn't following this fight close enough to give a real prediction, which I didn't. And I don't say anything when I don't know, so I don't really give predictions unless I know for sure. But I was just chatting with my English mate, and I was like, listen, like, people are counting Povetkin out, and he knows this because he predicted it. Actually, he's like, I think Povetkin's going to win. And this guy is just, he's just a fan, and he ended up being right. But
give him a shout out. Give him his name.
Josh. I forget Josh's last name, though. So that's not give him a full shout out.
Travis, Josh, hold on. Mates. Travis, that's not how you do a shout out. Just call him Josh. Don't know. Let's say you don't know his last name. But
he's a new friend we literally just met. So that, to be fair, he knows this.
He's very nice. He's very, very nice on the way. He mentioned, so to digress a little bit, when I first came in, he's like, I just saw a video of you. I'm like, oh, so I'm thinking he's talking about the podcast, the YouTube, right? He's like, I just watched you just get walloped in the stomach for your birthday. So for those that are watching or listening at home, every year at the gym that Travis and I met at many years ago, it's a UFC gym in Winter Springs, Florida. So shout out to them. We go ahead and do price boxing on Saturdays. And so if it's someone's birthday, what they do is that they line up everyone that's there and they get a free shot at the abdomen.
Show me how it's done. How do you stand when it comes to
all right. So then you have to describe it, because I'm walking away from the mic.
Yep, I got you. So Brandon's standing up over here. If you're watching on the YouTube, you can see the video. But Brandon's standing up. You stand there, hands behind your head. Everybody gets to walk up, and they get one free shot. It has to be in the stomach, it can't be in the chest, in the stomach, even though some of them, they veer off a little bit. But Brandon, there was about 35 or 40 people
hit,
probably.
I don't know if it was as many as that, but it felt like it.
Didn't punch you, but there was somebody there first. But we all got in line. It was like a 2 to 3 minute video of people coming up and punching. They only got one shot.
Yeah, so I've done this for many years, and it's great. The people at Price Boxing are awesome. They're friends of ours, and we have a good time with it. It's everyone's birthday. We all do it. So it's like, okay, if you're going to throw it at me hard, then you got to know on your birthday, you know what, for the PG-13, I'm going to say, you MFers, no, I'm coming for you on your birthday if you're going to throw it at me.
Watch out, guys.
I said MFer. That's not bleeped out, is it?
No, you're good.
Okay. So, so obviously Brian Price, who that's going to be probably one of our first guests when we're ready for that. He's the one that leads the charge. It's not exactly a fun experience for 2 minutes or so. I mean, that's fine. Everyone has a good time, and you're celebrating the birthday. So you try to hit him right in the kind of the bread basket. But Travis, my gosh, these non-professional, non-amateurs that are just there to just have a workout, they go high, they go low. I got hit in the diaphragm, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. If you're listening to this and you've seen that video, you'll see that there's some that drifted up, and I actually like make mention of it. Like I went over, not down, but I like bent over a couple of times. Cause I'm like, dude, you hit me in the rib diaphragm area. So we'll look at that angle here. It was like, like you're supposed to hit here, like right around here. They're like up here. Like, it's sore today. It's fine. But you know what? I love those people out there. I know you love them too. So shout out to them. They're awesome. And it was my birthday. More than happy to celebrate that way and go home and not feel like laughing or worried about peeing blood. No, it wasn't that bad. It was tough in the moment. And you went easy on me. I was more worried about Drago, Adrian.
So a couple of my fighters that I trained, they're actually boxing next week in the Sugar Bear Classic.
Yep.
From Florida, the 28th to the 30th. But so 3 of the fighters that I actually trained, I brought to the class with me. One of them was like a 200-pound, 6'3" guy. The other one's a girl. The other one is a kid, 18-year-old, who's 200 pounds as well. So they also took part in this. So it was kind of fun. But to be fair, They were nice.
No.
Not
no. So I was the whole time I was thinking more. And Adrian, who's the 200-pound, that he's like looks like he's built out of marble. This guy.
He looks like Drago, Ivan Drago off the Rocky movies.
Yeah.
They call him Drago.
So the whole time, the whole day, I'm thinking, and we work out, and we'll get to that in a second because Travis ran this workout. He's awesome. Did a great job. I'll touch on that in a minute. But this is after we train for an hour. So, you know, we're all like dead, but everyone's saving a little bit in the tank, right? So I'm thinking the whole time, shoot, I can get through a handful of these guys because I've felt it before, but I've never had Adrian. I've never felt Drago before. You know, I've even felt Travis's gloved fist, but not Drago. And so the whole time I'm worried, of course, he's like one of the last ones. I'm thinking to myself, I kind of want him to go first.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I just wanted him to, like, just get it out of the way and then kind of go about the business. No, he went last. So I was a little concerned, but he was nice about it. It didn't feel good.
Yeah.
I knew he was going, like, half on that.
Still hard.
Still. I mean, listen, for you folks listening, and maybe I'm rambling about it at this point, and you're like, speed ahead. On different birthdays, I've had various professionals in there. I've had Mike Perry from the UFC hit me, and he goes maybe not even half. And that hurts. You know, Alex Nicholson, I don't think he's hit. Well, maybe he has. You have Craig Duncan.
Craig Duncan.
And
that guy can straight punch.
You have other guys, you know, Orlando Smalls, other people locally that I've felt it, but they're mean and they're nice. They know not to go all out. So it's like half like 50%. That doesn't feel good still. It doesn't feel good. Folks, I'm not a professional. I'm not an amateur. I'm just a fitness guy. You know. Here's Spring Hill in Tennessee. This is a gym that I've frequented a couple times. They're awesome. But I'm not out in the ring. It's a different world, bro. It's a different world, man. It just reminded me, you need to do some core work. That's all it did. So I was not peeing blood, Travis. I feel okay. It's a little sore, a little tender. I don't want to go have you jack me in the stomach today. Well, maybe later if we run out of time. Anyways.
We always go on these tangents. I haven't finished the boxing analogy.
Oh, wait. Yeah, but I did want to talk about. So Travis Price Boxing, he was the guest instructor because you know what? He's a wealth of knowledge. He's been in the boxing world for his whole life, right? And he trains. He has an awesome facility here. Trains a lot of people. He knows what he's talking about. He has these fighters that are going through the Sugar Bert and whatnot. So Travis knows what he's talking about. He ran us through the ringer, guys and gals.
It was fun.
It was a nice hour. We were all soaking sweaty. We had a good time. It was fun. But we didn't get a chance to hit him, and that's coming. That's a warning shot.
Listen, I already told you that I did that a couple of years ago at Price Boxing. They recorded it, posted it on Facebook. My mama saw that. And she about killed me. She gave me lectures for hours. And she said, Travis, my mom's worked for a doctor. She's been an ENT like 15 years probably. Now she worked for a doctor office for like 15 years as well. And she was like telling me all this stuff that could happen. I'm like, Mom, I get it. I was like, but I'm a pro boxer. Don't you realize that I've probably been hit 10 times harder than these guys?
Yeah.
But she was like, no, you don't get it. The repeated blows. And I was like, okay, well, I was like, I won't do it again.
The repeated blows is something different. So I know you guys take so much more punishment than we would, but it's the fact that it's like constant to the same area, and it's like, no. Some people hold back, some people don't. You want to have the actual opposite of that. So I put the stuff on Facebook, right? Like some of the first two people to like or do whatever, my parents. They're like, thumb up, you know? They're like, hit my son.
I gotta meet Daddy. Daddy
Waters and Mom. I think my mom led the charge. Yeah, I didn't say that to you, but I'm like, man, Mom, come on now. You like my other stuff first. Don't like me getting hit.
That's amazing. I got a phone call and chewing out for like I'm over 30. And my
mom. Well, see, okay, so we haven't talked about it because when we first started filming, so this is what session 8. We've done this for 8 weeks now.
Episode 8, yeah.
So right before we started, right before we started, it was your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And we came out here and did it to you. Now, you chickened out a little bit. You put, if you can see behind me, right next to my Mr. Potato Head, right here, I'm pointing at it. Travis had that thing on him. That's not how we roll.
That's the Ryan Garcia challenge. Ryan Garcia, professional boxer, big Instagram hit. He does that. So I thought I should do that.
That ain't Price Boxing birthday stuff. I'm telling you right now.
But with that, it's a little deceiving. Put that on, then everybody really picks up hard. They're like, oh, I can hit it extra hard. So Adrian hit me.
He did hit you. That was pretty hard. I was there for that. I hit you pretty hard too.
Like, yeah, exactly. So like, it's a little deceiving. They're like, oh, he's got a pad on, so now I can just kill it. But I'm telling you, that pad is not that thick.
Yeah, so you guys can't see it, but you know, Travis was. We were in his gym, and we were standing over there. And
hiding from my mom.
Like myself and Adrian, we just wanted, and even Taylor, I mean, we just wanted to send you into the wall.
I think Taylor even like did a double hook on me or something. I had to cut her off.
Dude, she hits hard. When she hit me on Saturday, that stung.
Dude, she hits pretty hard.
Yeah.
For
who?
Anybody.
For who? Anybody?
I caught myself, and she hits pretty hard for a boxer. That's it.
No, she hits hard. She hits hard. So anyways. That's what Travis had on his birthday. Did B-Dog have that?
He did not.
Instead, he had these wild punches for people that aren't professionally trained and that are going into my ribs and my diaphragm and my pubic line.
Oh.
That wasn't fun. Anyways, we digress.
It didn't look fun, Brandon.
We digress. We need ice is what we need. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more on the heavyweight fight from last night, and then we'll take a short break. And then we'll, you know, come back. We'll talk about this, get some ice, whatever else. But let's finish up talking about the heavyweight fight.
So it was a great fight. Dillian White was a 4-1 favorite over Alexander Povetkin. And what they were trying to do, Eddie Hearn's a smart guy. Dillian White is with Eddie Hearn, the match from boxing and his own. So he was trying to set up a future rematch, I believe, with Anthony Joshua or a possible match with even Tyson Fury or Deontay Wilder. So a win here catapults Dillian White into a big time. You're talking multi-millions for a fight. I mean, I think he made pretty close to that anyways, but you're talking like you're up there 5 to 10 million if you fight one of those guys. So he was set up to win, and in the fourth round, Dillian White knocks down Alexander Povetkin twice. The 40-year-old went down twice. So everybody watching, they're like, and the bell ended up ringing, kind of saved him. So everybody's like, oh, it's going to end in the fifth round.
All right, it's almost over.
Yeah, guess what? It did end in the fifth round. Alexander Povetkin, about 10 seconds in the fifth round, catches Dillian White with a sick uppercut. He's out.
There you go.
I mean, he fell like a piece. And both of these guys are big guys. They're big heavyweights. And, dude, he fell like a sack of bricks. Straight up. And it was the referee count. You know what was bad was the referee counted 1, soup. It's over.
Yeah.
Doctors get in the ring. Like, it was that quick. So it's just crazy. That's why boxing is special, because my fiance, we were just talking about it. She's like, that's why boxing is so special, Charles, is look at all other sports. Football, if you're winning by 50 points, you're going to win. You're going to run the clock out. You're going to win. Basketball, if you're winning by 40 points, you're going to stall until the time runs out. Tennis, if you're winning 6-0, 5-0, you're probably going to win, because you have a lead, right? Dillian White was winning that fight, hands down, every round, knocking down twice in the previous round. And then guess what happens?
Puncher's chance.
Puncher's chance. And the thing is, it was just one of those perfectly timed, beautiful shots. Dillian White didn't even do anything wrong, necessarily. It was just like crazy punch, and he slipped it and just kind of, and it was money. As soon as he hit him, he knew he was out.
So this was the upset.
This was the, it was 4-1. It was a 4-1. There's a guy, I gotta give him credit, BJ Flores. He's also a professional boxer, former professional boxer, top mm-hmm. rated, top 10 in the world guy. I was on the same national Golden Gloves team as him from Kansas City, Missouri. So I've known him pretty much my whole life. He's also a commentator for PBC. He does a lot of like TV commentating. He called it. He goes, he put it on his Facebook. He goes, everybody, he goes, I'm telling you guys, he's like, at that odds of 4-1, he goes, put some money down. He's like, because you're going to win some money. And I wish I would have said it, but I didn't say it. So I got to give him credit. He called it. Like, he legit called it. And I called with my fighter, Adrian. He was just like, Travis, Dillian White's going to kill him. Drago, we're talking about Drago. Mm-hmm. He's like, Dillian White's going to kill him. I go, listen here, young grasshopper. I said, young grasshopper, just because he's 40, you can't dismiss Alexander Povetkin. And I go, he's got a puncher's chance, bro. And Adrian was like, nah, this young guy's going to knock him out. It's end of story. I go, listen, it might happen. I go, but you're dismissing this guy because he can punch. And first thing happened, when that Adrian sends me a Snapchat, he's going, oh my God, Travis, you're so right. He's like, oh my God. Because, like, you do, it's a heavyweight division. If you know how to fight, you know how to fight. And at the end of the day, they say the last thing that goes on a boxer is his power. His speed will be the first to go, his reaction speed's the second, and the power. And literally, you can have power until the very, very end almost, and then you finally, you know, can't do anything else, you can't take a punch, but your power is the last ability to go as a boxer. And look, Povetkin, he's not even an old man. He's not. He's in his early 40s. Like, people are fighting longer now. Bernard Hopkins fought until he's 50.
Right.
He beat a guy at 49. He beat a 28-year-old at 49 years old. Manny Pacquiao's 40-something years old. Just beat a 30-year-old undefeated fighter. So again, like we were saying, 40's not that old anymore. Not for athletes. It's crazy, but it's not.
That's right. That's my bar example, you know. You're 60 years old, you go to the bar, you try to, you know, mac on a 20-year-old, 60's a new 30.
I don't know about all that.
I don't know either. I'm not 60. I'm married. I'm not 60. I don't know. I don't know how that works. So, okay, so that was an upset. I think we come back from break. We might have some more stories to discuss on upsets. Maybe in the Travis Hartman library a bit, or annals.
I like it.
Annals. So, with that, we're going to take a soft break. As always, you're not going to tell a difference. It's going to be a couple seconds interlude. Maybe we'll put a little tune on. I don't know. Probably not. It's going to be like 3 seconds if you're listening or watching at home. So, with that, we're going to take a break here, get some ice. We'll come back. We're going to talk about Buffalo Trace for a few seconds, moments. Yeah, let's do that. And then we'll jump back into our conversations. But I like picking his brain about his past. The catalog.
As long as it's my brain, you're picking for you.
Well, I'm not picking anything else. I might pick on you with the outfit. However, we'll be back in a few moments, and once again, you won't know a difference. All right?
Peace!
Oh, come on, Audrey. I look like hell. I got bags under my eyes.
Right there, no, don't miss the lunch. My fans, I need my fans to see this.
Tell you what. Do I look okay? Shut the door.
Stand behind you. Damn it, Audrey.
All right, we're just kidding there. If you know where that's from, then you already love us. So we're actually really nice in person. We are back with Wayne and with Travis Hartman. Once again, this is the non-shameless plug. Is that a thing? Non-shameless plug.
I don't think it's a thing.
Subscribe, follow, like, comment, everything. Troll us.
Whatever.
I don't care. Everywhere. YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, Pocket Casts. It might be on Google. I think Google has something. I don't know. It's all over the place. Facebook, well, we're getting that going. We haven't really pushed that out, but it's there. Maybe we will.
Yeah, you know what?
Maybe we will. Why not? Why not? So anyways, we are back. I know we were talking a little bit about some fights that happened last night. You know, with the heavyweights, we talked about an upset, but that just kind of struck a chord with us, Travis.
It
struck a chord with the memory banks, with the Travis Hartman annals.
How do you say annals? Can you say it one more time?
Annals.
Annals. Just music to my ears.
Is it? Okay. Well, maybe after we talk. maybe after we talk, we'll talk about that pink shirt. So, we talk upset.
Weekend Trav.
It is Weekend Trav. Okay, you know what? Fine. We're going to do Weekend Trav now.
My bad.
There he is. You see the shirt, folks? There it is. That is solid, man.
It's a new one every episode, guys.
Are you going to keep up with that?
So far, I've got a lot. I've got a lot in the bank. About every Monday or Tuesday, I order from Amazon.
Oh my gosh.
And Irina's like, Travis, what are you doing? I'm like, it's my Weekend shirt. I got to get a stock of them. So literally, all my friends do. Like last night, I wore a different, not this shirt, I wore a blue one. It was a new one, though. I wore it to dinner. Everybody else is all dressed up. And Weekend Trav comes walking in.
If this is your first time watching and you want to see some other Weekend Trav stuff, take a look. We're out there. It's on YouTube, obviously, because on Spotify, you can't see anything. You can just hear our sexy, angelic voices. I don't know if sexy and angelic go together. The words came out of my mouth, and I wanted to pull them back immediately. This is we're derailing halfway in.
It happens to the best of us, right?
Okay.
Everybody listening to this at home, they should be like,
yeah,
it happens to me
all
the time.
Yeah, why not?
We're just getting recorded.
Yeah, that's much is fine. We actually enjoy doing that. You know, this was the whole brainchild of the podcast was Travis and I hanging out. Maybe we're getting some beers or whatever else. Or maybe we're drinking some bourbon. And an hour would go by. We're just chatting, laughing, whatever. So we're like, hey, man, you want to do this podcast thing? We just did it for an hour.
We need to record this.
Let's record it. Because all of our massive subscribers and viewers want to see this.
Our tens of viewers.
It's Hey folks, we've been at this for about 8 weeks now, and we enjoy what we're doing. We're having fun, so it doesn't matter. So anyways,
we're just getting constant. We have a lot of content, so you're gonna come back at a lot of these episodes, and once we hit it big and start hitting the hundreds of viewers,
ooh,
back.
Ooh,
I should have listened earlier.
Yeah, we're not even at the commas yet.
I said tens.
Yeah, tens and hundreds. So we got the pink shirt. We got the flamingos. If you're in the Northwest or Northeast or wherever you are and you're seeing that bird, you're like, hey, oh, it's a flamingo. We're in Florida. Those things don't just walk down the street, just as a heads up, okay? If you've never been to Florida or you have an idea what Florida's like, we only see those things at the zoo, all right? That's not a Florida bird that's just flying in the sky. Anyways. We have digressed so far.
I mean, you're educating our listeners, though, and that's why people listen to us, because they want facts. Because they don't get facts from the regular podcasts and media. You gotta listen to us. We're gonna give them facts.
Which is funny, because the main facts that we haven't even talked about this week, and we're not talking yet.
How long are we in this podcast so far?
I don't know, including our break, who knows a while. Who cares? I don't care. You know what? You know, one of our heroes, Joe Rogan, he does this for 3 hours.
Man, see, that's impressive.
Yeah. But he's a machine. He's been doing this for 12 plus years before podcasts were even called podcasts. So he's a visionary. Anyway, so we got the pink shirt. We got the storytelling. And we're about to get into storytelling, actually. And we're going to talk about upset stuff because we saw the upset last night with the heavyweights. So, Travis, tell me a little bit about an upset in your annals.
Man, this is a good one, too. I feel like I said a lot. This is a good one too.
Yeah.
So, I was set to fight in Wichita, Kansas, middle of nowhere. Literally, almost the middle of America. I think the actual crossroads of America is within right there. So, I'm scheduled to fight there. Brandon, I am actually in Hawaii with Irina. She is doing a off season for her tennis, and I joined her. So we're in Hawaii. They called me up. They're like, hey, Travis, you want to fight this kid named Ahmad Chico? He's like 16-4 or something. He just signed. He trains out in Vegas. He's got like this big time promoter that's just like pushing him along. And they're like, you want to fight this kid? And I was just like, dude, I'm in Hawaii. Like, I mean, maybe. I was like, I don't know. They're like, well, if you wanted it, George. I was like, how much money?
And sorry, when was this?
This was it was in December. Jeez, 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
So exact date, you can look it up. His name is Ahmad Chico. There you go. You can look that name up. So they called me up. They offered me to fight. I'm just like, dude, I'm in Hawaii. Like, I'm with my now fiance, girlfriend at the time. She's doing her off season there for tennis. She's a professional tennis player. So their off season is usually like November, whole month of November. So we were there training, and I was just like, I mean, I'll take. I got some. I usually crazy enough. I travel with boxing gloves quite a bit. So I was like, all right, like, you know what? It's 12 days. I can do a lot of cardio. I have boxing gloves, so I can shadow box. When I tell you that that's all I did, I shadow boxed, I did push-ups, I did sit-ups, and I ran. I did not hit the punch mitts. I didn't spar, nothing, okay? And this also, mind you, was going to be the first time that I was going to ever watch me fight live.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, he's right. I was literally, when I told her I took the fight, she was like, well, I'm coming. I was just like, crap. I can't tell her.
You gotta let her watch. I mean, you watch her play tennis, so it's only fair.
I invited her, but as soon as I invited her, I was like, oh, crap. But it's not that I don't think, I've competed with the best in the world. It has nothing to do with the talent. It's the more of the preparation. I'm just like, I have 11 days to prepare for this fight. It's a big fight. And this kid was good. Like, he was really good. He beat like a guy that was like 44-5, like a couple fights before me. So I'm just like, oh my God, this guy's pretty legit. So I accepted the fight. She's coming. So now I'm just like, you know what? It is what it is. So we fly to Wichita, Kansas from Hawaii. I flew to Wichita, Kansas. And what makes this story even better is this is funny. So we show up. I told the promoter, I was like, listen, on the weight, I was like, fly me in like a week early and I'll be fine. I'll make weight, all that stuff. They literally flew me in the day of the weigh-in. And I was like, listen, I'll do my best to make weight. Like, I've never missed weight. Look at my record. You know, I've been a long-standing pro for, you know, 12 to 13 years at that time. And I was just like, I've never, ever missed weight. And people know that, anybody listening to this podcast, they know that I've never missed weight. I'm very, very professional and disciplined when it comes to that, even on short notice. But I was like, dude, I'm flying from Hawaii. You guys know how far of a flight from Hawaii to Wichita, Kansas is? It's stupid.
And going against the sun and the time change.
It's stupid. Yeah. So I show up literally a couple hours before the weigh-in, and I end up being like a pound over, something minuscule, like something nothing. It was very, very small amount. So I weigh in. I show up like a pound over. And when you come in and you're a pound over, you have like a couple hours to sweat it off. So I was like, I wasn't that worried about it. Like, whatever. I was like, I'll sweat a pound off like nothing. But my opponent was there, and I showed up a little bit late because we flew in, all this stuff. I showed up a little bit late to the weigh-in. My opponent gets pissed. He starts like mouthing off, and I'm like, I was like, it made me even more mad too, because I was like, you know what? I was like, crap. I was like, I took this fight like 11 days notice, and now this guy's mouthing off. I'm like, great. And now my fiance is coming to watch me for the first time, and I'm like, crap. And my dad's there because my dad's my coach, and my dad like actually spoke up and was like, hey. Like, shut your mouth. He literally was like, hey, shut your mouth. He's been traveling all day. Like, he'll make the weight. Like, we weren't trying to get any extra. He's like, he'll make the weight. Like, shut up. Like, it's his first weight. The kid who I'm fighting, Machico, turns to my dad and starts, like, going off on my dad, mouthing off to my dad. And then, legit, I promise you, this is a true story. If you look back on my Facebook and any of my videos, you can see this is true. He told my dad, he was like, I'll knock you out. That's when I'm a very quiet and disciplined guy. I really am. And the kid was mouthing. I was just like, whatever. I got thick skin. I was like, I'm not going to, I don't care. Like, I'm professional. He told my dad he was going to knock you out. And that's when I stood up and I was like, oh, what was that? I was like, easy, bro. I was like, we'll talk about this tomorrow. And what I meant by it was, we fight tomorrow. I was like, we'll talk about this tomorrow. That's when I became even more nervous, because I was like, now he insulted my dad. I'm fighting in front of my girlfriend at the time, fiance now. And I'm like, crap. Now this stuff just amped up. So I lose the weight, I come back, it's fine, we're all good, the fight happens the next day, and we come out there, and this is a good story about, like, this should be one of these days that they make a movie about my life. I never won a world title, I never did anything major, I fought world champions, I fought the best in the world, but I never won a world title, but I had a couple upsets, and this is one of them. And the fight starts, I get knocked down in the first round. Like, a legit one. Like, I've never, ever, all of my fights, if you look them up, I've never been knocked out. I've never been knocked unconscious ever in my career, ever. Not once I've never been knocked unconscious. And this guy knocks me down with a headshot. It was a legit one. Like, it knocked me down. I got up, like, at 2 or 3 because I have a crazy good chin. So I get up. And I'm like, oh, crap. Irina's ringside. And afterwards, you know, I talked to her, like, what were you going through? She was just like, I was so worried. Like, I was so worried. Because, like, I got dropped. Like, think about it. If you're a female watching this, can you imagine your boyfriend, husband, whatever, getting knocked down by another man? Like,
well, it depends on the female you're talking to. Some might actually want that.
Yeah, this is true. But somebody, like, even a friend or whatever, like, if you're, like, somebody gets, like, beat up, you're just like, oh, my God, like, that's a tough thing to see.
Right.
But the kid knocks me down. I'm like, anybody that knows me, like, dude, I have a big heart, and I fight my butt off. Like, if I'm prepared and I'm in shape enough, that I'll fight my butt off. And I was actually, my cardio was pretty decent. The thing about this is, I hadn't sparred one time. I hadn't hit one. My dad, who's my coach, didn't train me. And the first time he saw me was the day before this fight. So, I mean, the odds are stacked against me for sure. So I get him, the kid knocks me down in the first round. I'm like, gosh dang it. Like, I think he turned left-handed or something. He caught me with it and just put me down. I was just like, I was more mad at myself for getting caught with it. But then, Brandon, come back, and like, whatever reason, I wasn't discouraged at all. Like, when I fell down, I got back up, and I was like, and this is another analogy for life, I feel like, too. Like, you get knocked down, get back up, bro.
Yeah.
Get back up, dust yourself off, because it's not the end of the line. It's not. No matter what you're in, it's not the end of the line. Get up. And I got up, come back, I knocked this kid out in the 5th round. Knocked him down a couple of times, like in the 3rd round, I think, and then the 4th round, and then I knocked him out in the 5th round. It was crazy. It was like, literally, the most stressful time, the most nerve-wracking, because it was the first time Irina was there. I get knocked down in the first round. This kid threatens to knock my dad out, who's over 50 at the time.
See, that's
and
the lesson.
I'm like, I gotta beat this guy. Like, if I don't beat this guy, I think I have to retire.
So that's the lesson. Do not disrespect a man's family. You want to disrespect the guy? Go for it. Yeah. Do not talk crap
and
about the dad.
And that's kind of how it is. I'm like, seriously, when he was talking crap to me at the weigh-ins, I'm just like, whatever, man. I was like, you know that I've really been in the ring with the best in the world. Like, whatever you're gonna say to me, I don't really care. Literally, I was, as he was like talking smack to me in the way, I was like, whatever. I was like, I really didn't care. And then he turned to my dad, and I was like, it's awesome.
So I'm not sure if you mentioned this on the onset of this conversation, or for those that just kind of jumped ahead. How did that fight come about? Was it just kind of his prior opponent drop out? Because it's 12 days, right? So what happened? What happened to get you into that slot?
I'm not sure if they had an opponent or not. I know that this kid was actually, so this kid was training at Las Vegas, but he's from Lebanon. Like, these kids are all, like, the promoter brought him over here training, like, and I think he was fighting out of Canada at the time, even, too. And I just, when people are signed with a promoter, what they do, they just try to keep them busy. Mm-hmm. And I think that a spot opened up for them, and I think that's when they reached out, and they're like, hey, if we can get him a fight, then we'll do it. If not, then he'll just look for something else. So I don't think anybody had actually dropped out, to be honest. But I'm not positive. I just know they called me about 11 or 12 days out, which could have been not actually planned as well.
So has he done anything since?
So, even more to the story.
Say his name again, because I want those at home. If you want to Google a name, Google his name.
Ahmad Shiko. And Shiko is in C-H, like E-I-K-O or I-E-K-O. Either way, it's close to that. Yeah. But the funny story about that is, too, is this is what I wrote to him after this, too. But he told me at the weigh-ins, after he mouthed off to my dad, he's like, I'm going to knock you out, looking at my dad, like, hand in his face. I'm like, whoa, like, no, you can't do that. And then he tells me, he goes, not only am I going to beat you, Travis, he goes, if I don't knock you out, he goes, I'm not just going to beat you. He goes, if I don't knock you out, I will retire. He actually said that. That's how confident this kid was. If you look this kid up, you'll see him. Dude, this kid looks like, kind of looks like $1 million.
Okay, dude, I remember this.
He's
okay.
He's got like an 8-pack. Like, he looks legit.
I remember all this because we've been friends for several years now, and everyone has a little mouth off sessions with your fights, whatever. I get it, it's promoting. I remember this conversation, so I remember the back and forth. I remember some of your people getting all over him, and his people getting all over you. Interesting.
We were friends on Facebook too, before this fight, and we're no longer friends on Facebook. He
whatever, whatever. All your 5,000, whatever. What has he been up to since?
No, so wait. He tells me that if he doesn't, not like this is how cocky he was. He's like, I'm going to beat you. He's like, that's not a problem. He's like, I'm going to beat you. He goes, but if I don't knock you out, I will retire. literally out of his mouth. And I was just like, all right, bro. Like, now, like, you've pretty much threatened my dad. You told me that you're going to retire if you don't beat me, which means that you're very confident. And whether I was prepared physically, whatever, for this fight, I had to be now. And that's all. That's how I looked at it. I was just like, you know what? It's time to sack up.
I like that.
And that, you know who I got that from? My good mate that I watched the boxing matches with last night. His name is Josh Page.
Thank you.
Josh Page. Apologize about the first part.
Josh Page, if you were watching about an hour, a little under an hour, and okay, so Josh.
So Josh Page, that's why I use the word sack up. And you know what that is? It's just like, man up, dude. Like,
absolutely.
You know, the odds are stacked against you, but at the end of the day, and this is why I love boxing, because everybody can talk all they want. At the end of the day, once you step between those ropes, it's you and the other guy. Nobody else can talk or save you, and that's exactly what I told him away. And so I was like, bro, keep talking, man. I go, you know, it's just me and you tomorrow. I was like, you can talk all you want to my dad. Like, who cares? Like, you're not fighting him. You're fighting me, though. So we got in the ring. He knocks me down the first round, though. And I think that he probably was like, yeah, I'm this good. That his confidence was through the roof. But I got up. And as soon as I got up, I think that got to him, like, mentally. And then I started fighting even harder. I think mentally that, like, that's what got him. Like, he was just, like, broke. I broke him mentally, bro.
He wasn't ready for that Missouri heart.
Hey. I got the heart.
Heart man.
So I knocked the kid out in the fifth round.
Yeah.
He's shamed. He literally, I'm not even kidding, I go on my Facebook, like, literally, like, an hour later, just to look. I wasn't, if you look on my Facebook, I didn't talk to Mac. I did not publicly on Facebook. I didn't. I looked at it, and he deleted me, and I started laughing. But then, listen, this is even better. This kid was kind of, he thought it was a big deal for sure, but he did a photo shoot and was on the cover of a Canada magazine. Even so, they done that shoot right before my fight.
Like, is this called Canada Magazine?
I don't know what it's called. I apologize for not knowing, but you can probably look it up somewhere because he posted it.
Travis, it's Canada. You can be as mean as you want. They're going to forgive you, and they're going to be nice about it. They're going to be nice.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Canada's a weird place. I've never been there, but I've had friends that have been there. I want to go. But, like, what people have told.
I fought Montreal.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
So all I hear is, like, it's like America, but everyone's really nice.
I mean, I don't know.
Could you imagine everyone in America being really nice?
No.
I can't either, because that's not American. So stop using that. All I know is they have Tim Hortons instead of Dunkin' Donuts for coffee.
So he's on the cover of a magazine. I don't even know what magazine this is and whatever it is, but he looks like a million bucks. They must have already were going to do this for him, like, because after my fight, I would have, like, ripped it off the shelves, but they probably already put enough money in, so they're like, well, we still have to release it. So, like, 2 or 3 days after I knocked him out, this cover gets released with him on the front of it. And I look, he posted, so he didn't block me, he just deleted me on Facebook. And somebody messages me, and they're like, Travis, you should go look at Bob Chico's page. And I was like, why? Like, just go look at it. So I looked at it, he posted this magazine cover, and I'm just like, wow, like, I just knocked this boy out. He's on the cover of a magazine, like, 2 or 3 days later. I'm just like, you know what? I think I won, so I'm cool. Like, he deleted me on Facebook. He's on this magazine cover. But he's sitting at home knowing that he just got his butt kicked. And I didn't retire him fully, but he didn't fight for about a year and a half after that. And then he's only fought once after that, even. But he hasn't fought since then. He literally, I haven't checked, but he didn't fight for a year and a half after me. So I was like, wow. I was like, he was a man of his word. He was, if he doesn't knock me out, he's going to retire. And I think he was so shamed and embarrassed that he was like, I can't ever fight again. But he did end up fighting like a year and a half later. But that's my upset story. Like, that's a cool upset
story
that I have.
So Travis Hartman took his heart.
I did, bro.
You took his heart.
I got said bro a lot.
But you know what? A DB. I'm not going to say what that stands for, but if you're watching, you know what that stands for. PG-13 still. He was a DB. He deserved it. You know, don't come at a dude's dad. Give me a break.
No, like, he actually...
He crossed lines.
That was, and I'm like, dude, do you realize that, like, you actually fed the fire and adrenaline in me to want to beat you in the
best part, Travis, is that... The best part is that 12 days, 13 days earlier, you had your feet up on the shores of Hawaii... And this cat was probably training like crazy for whatever he might have coming up. And you just had a set of boxing gloves maybe doing some cardio, but you're drinking Mai Tais on the beach.
You know what? That's a funny story too. Where I knew I could have been really cruel and posted all that, but to this day, people don't know until now. This is the first time I've said that I never sparred. I didn't even have a coach with me. I literally was shadow boxing with boxing gloves. I'm not even exaggerating. I was shadow boxing on a tennis court. I'm not kidding around. This kid should be more embarrassed than I beat him on my towel alone.
And here's how important he is to me. What's his name again?
Ahmad Chico.
Okay, Ahmad Chico, if somehow you're watching or listening to this, there you go, bro. It's time to actually retire at this point.
I you know what, bro? You really need to, because seriously, I didn't want to embarrass you that bad, but think about it. I didn't even spar. I didn't have a trainer to catch my mitts. I had nothing, but I shadow boxed on a tennis court. Granted, I can fight.
Yes, you can. Absolutely.
I always say this, and I still truly believe it, that I've never been completely outclassed by anybody. If I've ever lost, it's because, one, I took a fight at short notice, I wasn't trained, I wasn't properly trained, I wasn't in shape, whatever else, but, like, I've never been outclassed. Like, my talent has been there. It's always been there. I've been fighting my whole life, and it doesn't just happen for no reason. Like, I've worked my butt off for the talent that I have. So, like, I knew that I could beat a lot of top guys just being me.
Yeah.
But if I would have got a little more notice for the super top guys, like the world champions, right now, Terrence Crawford, Keith Thurman's, I could have put up a better of a fight. I'm not saying I would have beat them. By no means. I'm not even saying that. I'm not that guy that's delusional. But I'm saying I would have put up a better fight against a guy like a Terrence Crawford or a Keith Thurman or Jesse Vargas if I had more time to train.
Sure.
But I didn't. And that's where I'm at right now. Travis Hartman, I've had 47 pro fights. I didn't win them all. I lost a lot as a pro. But it is what it is.
Yeah, and so when we talk about your career, we talk about your stories, the point is not to make light of the opponents, not to make light of your career, because we're not. We're actually highlighting it. I think you have a lot of stories, you have a lot of information, especially current boxing, but also just drawing on your experience, your history, and I think it's awesome. You're a wealth of knowledge. That's why people want to listen to this. They want to watch us, not because of me. I always say it's not because of my angelic voice, the sexy angel, which doesn't make sense. No, it's because you've been there. You have the experience. You're a fighter, man. It's not that you were an easy fight ever. You know what you're doing in there. Your experience from age 6 on to now, because you're not technically retired, people don't want to face you because they know it's going to be a test. No matter what, it's going to be a test. Okay, so anytime we make comments or we joke about it, it's not necessarily at Travis' expense. It's just to like put it in context here. A guy like that who's going to mouth off to this dude, he had 12 days to beat you. It's time to hang him up, bro.
And I didn't just beat him. I beat him down.
Yeah.
It wasn't a decision. I knocked him out.
Yeah. Welcome.
After I knocked him out a couple of times.
Welcome to America, Lebanon, Canada. Yeah. Anyways, let's transition away from this, because I don't want to give someone some schmuck like that any more airtime. Yeah, and not arrogant anymore.
But not
to take away from you and your cred. Because I don't want to make that seem like, oh my gosh, he lost to Travis Hartman. No. He lost to Travis Hartman in a brutal way after talking and running his mouth.
Speaking of like 4-1 odds is how Alexander Povetkin won.
Yeah.
I was like a 10-1 underdog in that fight. So like that was.
Did you put money on yourself? Yeah. Are you able to do that?
I didn't. You know what's funny is like I have nothing against it. If you guys want to gamble, for a bet, that's on you. Sure. I have nothing against that. Yeah. But truthfully and honestly, I'm telling you right now that I don't think I've ever bet on boxing. I'm really good at that. But you can. You're actually allowed to.
But never being a professional of any of that stuff, like betting on yourself, you're able to do that on a fight?
Yeah.
So
Mayweather's done it.
Yeah, I know. He has. So you've never done that for yourself?
Never.
Okay. So this is interesting. Like,
but I mean, I've never bet money on myself, but I do. I back myself mentally. You know what I mean? Like, I do bet on myself, but I don't bet money.
But
on
I just
myself.
Feel like, in terms of like the financial side
yeah,
of
I
it,
done that. No.
Like there's risk and reward, obviously, with what I do for a living. So I deal with that stuff.
Brand's a financial advisor for nobody to do that. But he's a financial
that's not the plug, but it is a plug. Anyways,
I'm just being honest. He is
okay, and people say I'm good at what I do. I don't know.
Brand's
But even as a fighter, so if you know what your purse is, maybe saying, okay, I believe in myself enough to be here. Maybe I take a certain percentage of that. And you know what? If I think I'm going to, if I'm confident in myself to win this, I'm going to bet on myself with this piece and possibly have a nice return from it. I don't know.
If I had you in my corner as a financial advisor at that time, I probably would have done it. Because you'd be like, Traps, here's the risk. It's in the oil. You're not going to lose here. Like, if you just bet a little bit, you're going to make a lot. So you should have done it.
Maybe.
But I didn't ask
you. Maybe. But now you have me in your corner as a pseudo-producer of this thing.
Yes, sir.
Our deal gets too big, and they know my shortcomings. This isn't my forte. My forte is talking and talking nonsense and trying to shut up and let you talk. So, anyway, so that's great. But you do too. I don't know. We want to talk about my voice? Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this bottle right here. Thank you for the story about you overcoming the odds of being in Hawaii.
Mother effer. That dude was so mouthy. I'm not kidding. It took a long time. Real quick
story. Travis, tell us how you really feel.
Real quick story. I told this guy. So I did. I'm from a small area. So there's a TV station there. The town's like, population's like 75,000. They have a couple TV stations now. But I told the reporter, his name's Ryan Lindley. Ryan Lindley, if you're watching, bro, I love you. But I told him in an interview, and it's out there for the airwaves. I was like, well, he was like, Travis, he's like, why do you keep taking all these really tough fights? And what I told him was, I go, listen, Ryan, I was just like, because I don't want to keep fighting these guys that I know that I can beat. I was like, I want to fight the best. And I was like, I'm telling you right now, I was like, one of these days, I'm going to upset one of these guys. I said it on the TV, like news. A couple of years later, I pulled it off. But I was just like, dude, I don't care what my record is. I was like, I'm going to upset one of these guys because my actual record doesn't define how good I am. Because I could have done like a lot of guys do. I could have been 20 and up. I promise you, I could have been 20-0 fighting guys that I handpicked, sure, that I fought. And I was like, dude, I never want to do that. I've never, and anybody that knows me, and you could say it's smart or stupid, whatever you want to say, and maybe it was stupid, but I never wanted to do that. So I I've fought more top guys than probably any of the top guys even. I've fought a lot of guys.
But see, here's how we balance things out, because you have your perspective of it, and I have the other perspective, which is, listen, I love you as a brother, as a friend. But when I look at that, I have so much respect for you as a fighter and from your career that's the way you view it. It's not that you wanted to pad your record. You don't want to have these easy fights. You don't want to have the number behind your name necessarily. You had the challenge. And the fact that promoters will call you because they don't view you as a walkover opponent. It's that you're going to put this guy to the test, and we're going to see who we're actually dealing with here. I don't want to say that you're, what's the term?
Stepping stone.
You're not the stepping stone guy. You're not, but.
Kind of was.
Maybe at this point you're starting to get a little up there. Listen, we're all getting older.
Hey,
we're all getting older. Something to tell. But the fact that this is the way you've always approached your fight career, the respect level outside of being a friend of yours, it's up there. And that's why even the guys and gals down here, we support you and we have the respect for you. And this isn't a big podcast of, we love Travis Hartman. But you know what, man? You know what? You have all of our support because we know you've approached us the right way. And you have the integrity behind not only the fight game, but the way you approach business, the way you approach your personal life, everything else, it shines through. And that's why you have all these people to support you. You don't have a lot of naysayers. All right? The only naysayers you have is politically, and that's on Facebook, right?
Yeah, but who pays attention to that?
No, who does?
I do have a lot of people. I tell you, Brandon, this all the time on my Facebook. So I have, it's not bragging, I'm just trying to make a point here, but I have 5,000 friends on Facebook, and that's actually, Facebook maxes you out at 5,000. So people added me after Price Boxing, by the way, and I can't accept it because I actually pressed confirm this at you. I'm not allowed to accept this because you have 5,000 friends.
Well, I know that personally because many years ago when like we connected and we became friends, it's like he's like, hey man, I gotta wait till I can cut some people out and I can I'm like, I don't give a crap. It's Facebook, whatever.
So you know how I cut people out though? All I have to do is I make a political post and I'll get about 3 or 4 deletes and those people don't realize that I'm just trying to make room for the people that have already added me.
For those listening at home, if somebody makes a post that's not even political, because a lot of your stuff isn't directly political at all, it gets turned into that. And if you want to respond in a political fashion, you're the one that looks like an idiot. You really do. I'm thinking of one person in particular. I'm not going to call them out at all. But if you're watching this, you probably know who you are already. You sound and look like an idiot.
Yeah. literally, I've made a lot of posts that are, in my mind, zero about politics or even government for the most part. I make a post and somehow people find a way to turn it into a political post. And it's not. It wasn't even meant to be that. Yeah. I like to be positive and inspirational, and that's what my post was trying to do. But somehow I got to a point.
Some people just wake up that way. They want to torch the world into a situation where everyone believes what they believe, and that's just not the way it works. So whatever, it's going to be an interesting time frame as we get into the next few weeks. I'm sure we will talk a little more politics as we get closer to November 3rd. All I know is that as of yesterday, there was a 51% approval rating on Rasmussen with our current president. So
was it 51%?
Yeah, well, he's so if you're listening to us, I know it's Sunday. I think there was some sort of announcement on treatment. I don't know. Let's not go in this realm because we're already running pretty long. I like the kind of episode we have right now. We haven't talked much about this. We might even start wrapping. Let's wrap up the podcast a little bit talking about this. We'll probably deviate for the next 20 minutes. But, you know, that's what happens here at Weighing In with Travis Hartman. We're here live for us. But if you're listening at home, we're not live at the TH Boxing facility here. So we're drinking Buffalo Trace, you know, Kentucky straight bourbon. It's very good. If you try to go to your local liquor store, ABC, whatever it might be, Publix, probably they never have it. It's not on the shelves. It's hard to find.
Brandon told me this. So Brandon told me that he was like, Travis, I can't get this anywhere. I can't find it anywhere. So this is my plug to this story because it actually helped me because Brandon, for my birthday, got me a bottle of some good whiskey. So, Four Roses, I tried it. It was actually phenomenal. We had it on one of our episodes. So, I was like, you know what? I was like, for Brandon's birthday, I have to get him whiskey. And he's been talking about Buffalo Trace. He's like, Travis, they don't have it anywhere. So, I found an app. It's called Drizzly. Drizzly delivered this to my house within 50 minutes. What? I placed the order in 50 minutes today, they delivered to the house. So, Drizzly, bro, you guys deliver me Buffalo Trace, which is usually sold out of all places, but you gave it to me within like 50 minutes. Like, I love you guys, and that's Brandon's birthday present, so Brandon appreciates it.
So here, this week, I think my audio and visual are working, so now when I hold the bottle up, you can actually see it. So we got Buffalo Trace bourbon. It's very good. I always say that every week it's very good. But so far we haven't had a really bad one. There was one that was like a peanut butter flavor and didn't taste very good.
Yeah, the screwball one.
The screwball. That's good for one. You can't make a whole podcast out of it.
I'm not gonna spill completely down the drain. One was solid.
It tasted good.
That was it though. I was like, I can drink this a lot.
Now with the screwball, I think that is better for like mixing into some other stuff. I had a friend that told me, oh, they made a mudslide out of it. I'm like, people still make mudslides? So, I don't know, Travis and I, we're not old, but we're not young. But I think that's more like my sister, who's a little older than me. I think that's her thing. So anyways, we're drinking Buffalo Trace. Once again, here's the bottle.
From Drizzly. Drizzly.
Drizzly. Drizzly delivered it. You can't find this here and there. Restaurants, they'll get it, and they tend to sell out. If you're going to your local liquor store, if they have it, I would say if you're a bourbon fan, go ahead and get it. It's very good.
It's worth the try.
Price-wise, it's kind of the medium point price, so you're not going to break your bank, and you're getting something that's high quality. So that's why it flies off the shelves. Very good. Plus, everyone just loves, look at this guy. Look at that guy. He's up there. He's got his buffalo horns. He's got his little male
junk under there.
You had to talk about the buffalo's genitalia, didn't you?
Well, like, you had to. I'm staring at this pink shirt across the... It's gonna get to the conversation of genitalia at some point. Anyways, so with that, we do really like this. So if you're perhaps catching us from the LP Bourbon Society, you guys know what we're talking about. Buffalo Trace is very good. We appreciate being part of you all. And hopefully in the future we'll have... We do. We'll have some more connections. 100%. So thank you for the person that invited me, that I invited Travis. But listen, we're not about like just booze in here. We want to talk boxing, which I think we've delivered on that for most of this episode. We barely touched on politics, which
you know
is good.
It is very good. You know what else we didn't touch on, which I'm very happy about? We didn't say the big C.
The big C. So shoot the hoop, and I'm going to, you know what, I'm just going to say it. Coronavirus, bro.
All right, so if I miss it, we do 10.
Listen, remember, if you watched us last week or listened to us last week, we came up with a new thing. The first time someone says coronavirus, word for word, which we refer to it as the big C here. And we take that. That's not my terminology. I'll take it from Dave Portnoy with Barstool Sports. Give credit where credit's due. So, the big C, we called it coronavirus. Last week we started this. Travis then shoots a hoop on this. Now that you actually have my video this week, let me tuck my hat.
Now we can see it.
Let me tuck my cool hat. These are good people here. If you live in the Central Florida area, take a look at Lucas Nursery. Right here.
All right, what's the deal we're making? Because last time we made a deal, it was supposed to last through every
Bro.
Time. We're making a new one.
Bro, we're athletes, so either way we're doing push-ups. But if you make it, we're only doing five.
Okay, that makes it what I'm
saying. Yeah. Right. Every time from here on out we say coronavirus, That's where it starts.
Okay.
So that's already 5 or 10. Then again, we're at the tail end of our podcast right now. Either way, this is what we're doing.
You guys got to listen, take into account, guys. One, I love basketball, I'm a big basketball guy. Two, I've had about 30 glasses of Buffalo Trace. So come on, give me a break. No warm-ups.
And what was number two? Number three, he's wearing a pink shirt with flamingos on it.
This is true.
Okay, I'm going to move out of the way so they can see it.
Right.
Okay. Hold on. That's the second week, and you're like, I was so close. That didn't even touch the backboard.
First of all, again, he said last week he didn't touch the backboard. I'm not saying it was close, but I hit the backboard again.
No.
Watch the video. If you're watching this and you're a video guy, please pause this video. Send us the screenshot to prove to Brandon that I also hit the backboard again.
You see where my finger is? That is where it hit. That was the brick. When they say, hey, that was a brick, they're talking about Travis's shot with the mini hoop. Brick. Brick City. 10 push-ups. Here's my sweat towel. 10 push-ups. Let me get it on. Hold on. Say what? Listen.
See, you know what? We're making people healthier.
Maybe, because every time we say coronavirus, oh shoot.
It's 5, dude. It's 5.
No, it's 10. Because you missed it. You missed it. So every time we say that, if you're listening to us, you got to do the same thing too.
Guys, we're making the country and the world healthier. If you want to fight the big C, boost your immune system by doing push-ups.
Listen, we're making America great again via push-ups. Every time.
Woo! Aw, man.
Alright.
They got to see my shorts now.
Fudge. Yeah. Fudge, he doesn't match.
First time I did. You know what? There goes my GQ magazine right there. They're no longer going to give me.
Alright, so I know we're not in the best shape of our lives, but we. Hold on a second. Some little technical things will work out. We're not in the best shape of our lives, but we're in a darn great shape. Do that again.
But we're not in the worst shape of our lives. Wow. Look at that.
That doesn't look very good.
Ooh. First of all, your arms are a little bigger than mine, so I think it looks a little better.
My arms might be, but so is my belly. So, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping this up. Travis, any final thoughts?
I literally was thinking it was such an inappropriate so bad.
Okay.
So you immediately missed me on the final thoughts.
So folks,
I do got a final thoughts now. I'll bring it back around. I won't say the inappropriate thing because we're trying to be PG-13 because we're trying to.
Until we have a guest.
Until we have a guest. However, because of the upset story, I do have one. Never give up. Listen, sometimes losses in life are just bumps in the road. Like, they're hurdles in the road. You jump over hurdles. You walk over bumps. You keep going. You keep progressing. And listen, no matter what anybody ever tells you, keep going. Because, like, do you know how many times people look at my record and like, oh, Travis is terrible. He's horrific. You know how many trolls that I've gotten in my entire life because of my pro career? You know, I didn't lose very much as an amateur, but as a pro, I lost a lot more fights, but it was a different scenario. So don't listen to other people. If you genuinely want something bad enough, go for it. Just because you get knocked down in life doesn't mean that you're done. It doesn't mean that you lose. You only lose when you quit. So never quit.
It's not about how hard you get hit. It's about how hard you get hit and keep on going.
Amen.
Quote Rocky Balboa.
Amen.
I'm sorry, I've done that a few times now.
That's amazing. That's a great quote, though. It's like in life.
Listen, it's a boxing
analogy, but that's life.
Listen, Sly Stallone knows what he's doing.
Did you know he got inducted into the actual International Boxing Hall of Fame?
He should. Why not?
As a boxing person, he's actually in. Actually, I say that as a man. I'm not mad about that, actually. The Rocky movies brought a lot of notoriety to boxing, so. I'm not mad about that.
And you know what? He put a training element into that, too. It's not like he just walked in as an actor. And that was his screenplay. The first Rocky movie was his screenplay. And he decided to play the main role. I mean, he put everything on the line from his career at that point. He was nothing at that point.
He sold a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And so he's... Dude, what a legend. Anyways, that's a different podcast. So thank you for the final thought. I'll close us here saying, if you haven't already, please feel free to subscribe to us, follow us, whatever it is on the different social media platforms or podcast platforms, Spotify, iTunes, Pocket Casts, everywhere else, YouTube, Facebook page. Maybe we'll go live with it this week. I don't know. It depends. It's there. Weighing In with Travis Hartman. You can find us on all of those mediums. Please do give us a like, a shout out, a follow, subscribe. That helps us. The algorithm's weird. Our world is an algorithm. Welcome to the Matrix. With that, we drank Buffalo Trace today. It was awesome. We had a good conversation about boxing, quite a bit of it. And Travis, you know what? This was a fun time. So I think we're going to try to close this thing, maybe do it right. So with that over there is Travis Hartman.
That's Brandon Waters.
Thanks for joining us. Please feel free to come on back next week and enjoy our company. Thanks a lot, and God bless.
Money!